Today is one of those days, y'all, that it seemed like no matter what happened, you were gonna have a good day, and you knew it as soon as you woke up in the morning. I drove my car, y'all, and I parked my car, and as I was parking my car, I tapped another car as I was pulling into the spot, like it was really tight, and I thought I was gonna get there, and I just barely tapped bumpers with it, and I was like, ugh, you know, because that sucks, like nobody wants to do that. And so, you know, there was no damage or anything like that, but it was just, you know, I felt kind of, I mean, it's not like that means you're automatically going to have a crappy day, but I mean, it's just one of those little things in life, and it's the little things in life, I always tell my fiance, it's the little things in life that really, really irritate me. And so that was one of those little things that is just like, ugh, you know, that's not the kind of start I'd want to get off to my day. So, but like 5 minutes later, I wasn't even thinking about it anymore. It didn't even matter because March Madness is upon us, y'all. March Madness. Woo! It's that time. So welcome to the Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast. Jay Hicks here behind the microphone as usual. We got a lot to get to today. We're going all March Madness this time, all college basketball. We've kind of neglected college hoops this season. To a large degree, we had a lot of other topics to get to, you know, and so we've kind of put that on the back burner, so to speak, but it's coming to the forefront now. No better time than now to talk about college basketball. The brackets are out. We have 68 teams in the field right now today. 68 teams have a chance to be the 2014 national champions. We're going to get into all of that. I'm going to bring on two special guests, two former classmates of mine from my time at Ball State University, Mr. Rhett Umphress, Mr. Andy Roberts. They're both the official HHSR College Hoops analysts. They're going to be joining us this evening. I can't wait for that. So I'm going to bring them on shortly. Any major team that's worth talking about, we're going to talk about it today. You know, Wichita State, undefeated going into the tournament. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the seedings, whether or not any teams have a legit beef with those. Who's the best NBA prospects? We're going to talk about all of that, y'all. And before I bring on my first guest, I'm going to give you guys a quick synopsis. I'm going to let you know real quick who are the number one seeds in each region. And I got to do it with a little hip-hop music, y'all. That's what the podcast is all about, right? So first, we're going to go to the South region. Oh, yeah, that's right. Bum B. Shout out to Bum B, man. Trilla. The Florida Gators, number one overall seed. Chock full of seniors, that team is. Billy Donovan had a fantastic year. They're on a very long winning streak right now. They just won the SEC conference tournament just yesterday. They were the number one seed. They were the number one ranked team in the country coming into conference tournament play. And they're going to have to contend with the likes of Kansas, Syracuse, Ohio State, and UCLA in that region. How about on the West Side?
West Side?
We got Arizona, the Wildcats. They're the number one seed. They spent a lot of time at atop the rankings during the course of the season. Sean Miller's club had a fantastic year. They're going to be dealing with Wisconsin. They're going to be dealing with Creighton and Dougie McBuckets. And who else we got? San Diego State. Surprising team out west. But yeah, that's the West region. So Arizona, number one seed out west. Then in the Midwest, look, Greg Marshall's gonna lose himself in this tournament, y'all. No, I don't know. Let me stop. I don't even know what he's gonna do. Actually, we're gonna talk about, I'm gonna tell you what I think he's gonna do. But Midwest region, Wichita State, the Shockers, they shocked the world and went undefeated. They shocked the world and they were in the Final Four last year. So, undefeated record this year, Final Four last year. They look to be legit, but they're gonna have a hell of a time in this region, y'all, because this is the consensus toughest region, is the Midwest. They're gonna be dealing with Duke. They're gonna be dealing with Wofford. Okay, I'm kidding. I mean, Wofford's in the region, but they're going to be dealing with Michigan. They're going to be dealing with Duke, and they're going to be dealing with defending champion Louisville, and they may have to contend with the Kentucky Wildcats as soon as the second round. That's like Saturday or Sunday, right? And then on the east side, y'all, the Beast Coast, the eastern region.
What up? Time, man.
We got the Virginia Cavaliers holding down the East Coast. They won the ACC conference tournament and regular season. So the Cavaliers got the number one seed. They earned it. They deserved it. Not a lot of people are talking about them, but they deserve that number one seed. They're going to be dealing with the North Carolina Tar Heels, Villanova, the Wildcats, UConn is in this region, Iowa State's in this region, and Michigan State is in this region. We're going to talk a lot about Michigan State, y'all. So let's not waste any more time, y'all. Let's get into it. Joining me now is a very special guest, good friend of mine. I've known this guy for about 5 years, and in the 5 years that I've known him, he's one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet. His name is Rhett Umphress. He is a former classmate and colleague of mine at Ball State University, you know, because we Mac Daddy, so we roll like that. And he's the commissioner of my fantasy football league, you know, Rhett. the chair division, the chair racing division, you know what I'm saying? That's inside joke, but, you know, thank you very much for joining us on the preseason podcast of the year. I wanted to just get your opinion because I know you're a very knowledgeable college basketball fan, and so I had to, like, look myself in the mirror and say, okay, Justin, look, you know that there's other people that know this information better than you do, so just check yourself and go get them and put them on the podcast. And so that's what I did. So, Rhett, I wanted to get your opinion on all things college hoops. Specifically, I want to start with some of the smaller schools that are there. I could have gone the other way and went with the big schools. I want to start with the smaller schools because I know that you have a lot of knowledge about those teams. I wrote an article on the site that you saw and hopefully all of you all saw on hiphopsportsreport.com about why I feel like this is as wide open of a tournament as we've seen possibly ever. And basically, I just think it's up for grabs. No matter if you're, you know, I mean, we've seen other small schools have runs to the Final Four even in recent years, like George Mason, Butler, and Wichita State last year. I feel like one of those teams could really win it this year. If they catch that wave, man. I mean, do you agree? Is there a Cinderella team that everybody needs to be watching out for that actually has a shot at winning this thing?
I think that first of all, it's great to be here. It's great to be on an award-winning podcast. I think that it is really wide open. It's not sure who. We don't know what's going to happen because so many teams have lost so many weird games, you know, and. One of the big problems is when you're looking for a sleeper, first of all, is that the bottom of the bracket this year is abnormally bad because anything down like 13 to 16, all your low mid majors that like hardly any of them won their conference regular season. And so these are like the four seed of the WAC or whatever. And like, you know, Cal Poly won the Big West. They're 13 and 19. Like, And so just pushed up all these lower seeds, like, they got pushed up to where, you know, Delaware is a 13 seed, whereas, you know, on one hand, I'd love to pick someone like that, but it's really tough. And even a good one, like, even when you get a good team, like Tulsa wasn't impressive, even though didn't win their conference, but they were in a really competitive conference USA, but they still have a tough matchup because UCLA, they won the Pac-12. They won, you know, quote-unquote, a real conference. I think when you're looking for a surprise mid-major, first of all, you're going to go, not really a surprise, a low seed, but Wichita State is going to be your top one to look at because nobody beat them, and you can discredit the schedule if you want, but they still beat good teams, and they never lost. It's not, you know, they went 33-1. They went 34-0. I think if I'm looking at a team, you know, another team I really like who has been really impressive is Stephen F. Austin is really good. They've won 28 straight. They rolled through their conference. They've got decent matchups. I mean, playing, you know, a team like VCU, playing that Havoc defense is tough, but at the same time, the senior squad who doesn't turn over the ball that much, it's the kind of things you want, you know, multiple guys who can handle the ball. It's the ingredients you want for a 4-0 upset. And the challenge this year, when you're going to look for, I think we all know a major upset's going to happen, but the hard thing is to find the right matchup, and some of these lower seeds are more iffy than usual.
It's funny that you bring up Stephen F. Austin, because if you look at their record, they're 31-2. So kind of to your point about Wichita State, you know, Wichita State was, I think, 34-0. Stephen F. Austin's 31-2, so you don't win 31 games on accident. I mean, that don't happen. So I think Stephen F. Austin, and I've heard a little bit of buzz about them too. So, I mean, I could see something like that happening. And what's funny, though, is that they played VCU in round one when it was just a couple of years ago that VCU was the upstart that nobody had heard of. And Shaka Smart kind of burst onto the scene and took them. I think, I don't know if they, I know they made the Elite Eight.
Was in the final. They were a Final Four team. The same year as the second time Butler did it.
Right. So they made it all the way to the Final Four. And so now you're seeing it. The hunter has become the hunted, because now you have VCU as a 5 seed, but not all that impressive of a 5 seed, at least not in my opinion. I mean, they lost to St. Joe's twice. They lost to St. Louis. They lost to UMass. I mean, I'm not saying they're not a good team, and I'm not even saying they can't beat Stephen F. Austin. I'm just saying that it's just funny how the script has flipped, like you said, and now VCU is the team that a team like Stephen F. Austin is gunning for. We said we need to make a statement. We're gonna knock them off the first week, and that's a 5-12. That's a 5-12. You know what I'm saying? I was gonna ask you about that too, because there's always a 5-12 upset looming, at least one, typically like two or three. So you think Stephen F. Austin has a shot at one? Do you think Stephen F. Austin or another team besides them, and also besides Wichita State, has a realistic chance of going to the Final Four and winning?
That's tough. And again, I kind of go back to one point you made, that we've got all these conference realignment. All these teams are no longer, you know, Creighton was a Missouri Valley mid-major a year ago, and now they're a Big East team. Like, it's not mid-major. It's kind of losing its label, because it's like, what are these teams? The Atlantic 10, it got 6 teams in the tournament. That's not really, sounds like a mid-major type of group anymore. I think, you know, like any team to go, I think Creighton is, go back to them, though, Creighton's really good. I mean, Elvin Dermott is going to score, and I think you can ride one hot hand. I think we saw, you know, going back a few years, Steph Curry got in one shot of the Final Four all by himself out of Davidson. And so we could see a lot of, you know, it just takes a few wins. It just takes one weird thing, and the bracket wide opens up completely. I think we're looking at, you know, everyone saying that, you know, for example, you know, Michigan State is a real trendy pick as a 4 seed. But it's something weird, and they stumble, and suddenly you've got like a team like a George Washington who has a manageable opening thing, a manageable run, because of the way that East bracket is just so much weaker than some of the other ones. And so it's part of the problem is you don't even know who they're going to play, obviously, and that's the thing we're trying to guess.
Well, if you can guess it right, Warren Buffett will make you a very rich man. So, you know. I mean, I'm just saying. I don't know if any of y'all are listening out there, but, I mean, if you haven't heard, I guess there's some kind of pool or something where you can win, like, $1 bajillion if you pick every game correctly in your bracket. But we all know that will never, ever, 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 ever happen. That'll never happen. But anyway. So, yeah, if I'm hearing you correctly, I mean, it sounds like you think Creighton could make a run, Stephen F. Austin maybe. And you think Wichita State still has a legitimate shot, if I'm hearing you correctly. And I was going to go to Wichita State and ask you, do you feel like they got a raw deal? Because, again, I mentioned it in the opening. They're in the Midwest region. They're going to have to face either Kentucky or Kansas State in the second round. That's not a slouch at all. They're going to have to face, potentially, Michigan, who made it to the Final Four last year, Louisville, who won the championship last year. They're all in this bracket as well. St. Louis has had a good team for several years, although they've kind of they're moonwalking into the tournament right now. But and I think and you know, just as far as and Duke, how could I forget Duke? Oh my gosh, Coach K and the Blue Devils are in this region. And then as far as a couple of other play-in teams that might have a shot at making some noise. To your point about Steph Curry with the hot hand, that was a great point. When you look at what T.J. Warren is doing out in with the Wolfpack in North Carolina State, that kid is averaging 25 a game with 7 boards. I didn't realize he was 6'8 either. I pulled up his player page today. He's 6'8. I didn't realize he was that big. But he's a guy that fills it up. And, again, if you can ride a hot hand, I mean, you can win a couple games and make some noise, get a little bit of confidence going. You know, next thing you know, you're getting interviewed by Greg Gumbel and Gottlieb. You know what I'm saying? Maybe one of those teams could be that team, but – Talk to me a little bit about Wichita State in the Midwest region. Do you feel like Wichita State got a raw deal because they didn't really play anybody outside of St. Louis that was noteworthy on their schedule, and now they're in this death march of a region?
Yeah, they definitely got something. They definitely did something wrong. Made somebody mad. I mean, when you they released the entire seed list of the 1 through 68, and so you go, the first four are the ones, 5 through 8 the twos, and when you go down, it's like Wichita is the number three, number one. But then they're in the same region as the top number two, the top number three, the top number four. It's either the top team or the number two team in the seed list. Like, it's this weird thing where it's like they just completely threw them the worst possible team they could over and over and over. And so that's one reason that's going to be tough for them. It's like, yeah, I think they can beat Kentucky. I think they could, one game they could beat Louisville. But it's like it's a gauntlet, and so you have to go. You have to go over and over. You can't have any mistakes. And so this region is just – I don't know what they were doing. I don't know if they ran out of time. It's like, it seems like they're talking about how they're throwing this bracket together at 2 p.m. on a Sunday, and they've got to make – they're not sure what to do. They're trying to – obviously, they run, for TV, they're going to run games up till the minute of the bracket because I'm sure that Big Ten game gets a lot of viewership. It's like, how do you spend the time to really look through and say, okay, are we making this the most balanced, fair bracket? Not to any one team, not to preference any one team, but how can we make sure that every region looks a little equal? And, clearly there's two regions here. We've got the Midwest, we've got the South, that are just much stronger than the other two, and that's not fair. It doesn't feel fair. I don't think it's malicious, but it's like it's more just a matter of not taking the time to really give us the best possible setup. So in one more point, and we're looking at, and I'm not trying to, we're asking about mid-majors that could go to the Final Four, and it's like, it's tough to pick one, but at the same time, like, if Stephen Austin wins two games and gets to the Sweet 16, that's great. That's a great year for them. And a lot of times we see a crazy upset here or there, but when you get into the end of the tournament, it's one through four seeds. The last 2 years, the top overall seed has won the tournament because it does separate out, but you can still have the unpredictabilities. Like, you don't know. It's like looking out for landmines.
And that's very true. And as far as Wichita State is concerned, they knew what they were doing, okay? I mean, the committee, I call it the GFY region. I don't know if you know what that means, but, yeah, you can gather. That's the go yourself region. That's what that region was. That's the Midwest, they didn't do Wichita any favors whatsoever. But one point that you made about the number one overall seeds winning it the last couple of years, but yet at the same time, you have these smaller schools that, maybe they get to the Sweet 16. That's a great year for them. But, that's the change in the paradigm. That's something we learned about in grad school was the paradigm shift. The paradigm seems to have changed. It feels like George Mason, Butler, VCU, and Wichita State, they wrecked the curve for everybody. So now, if you're a small school, like people, you have morons like me that are expecting a smaller school to have a legitimate run to the championship. And when I say legitimate, I mean like Butler had when Gordon Haywood shot it from half court and almost won the whole thing. I'm talking like that kind of legitimate. Like, this team really could win the national championship. Like, seriously could win it. It's changed the game because now if you get bounced early, it's kind of like, your small school kind of fades back into obscurity. You gotta hustle to get back to that point again next year of winning either your conference tournament or winning, or just being that good or scheduling some tough out of conference games and winning it that way. It's really a difficult road.
Yeah, for better or worse, this is a bunch of single elimination games, and we're going to base everything about a team on that. And, it's definitely exciting, but, if Wichita State loses to Kentucky in the second round, does that mean they had a bad season? And, I can't say yes, but most people will. That's a failure for going 35-1. And so, you're right. The standard has shifted, and that these teams, it's not enough, and that they've got to win their conference tournament, obviously, because if you're not winning your conference tournament, most of your mid-majors aren't getting in. Like, Even at Boston, yes, they're a solid 12-team, I think, to win a couple of games. But if they lose one game in that conference tournament, they're a 30-3 team that's sitting at home.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. It's kind of like, it reminds you of the Patriots a few years ago when the Patriots went undefeated in the NFL, and then they lost in the final minute of the Super Bowl. And then a lot of anti-Patriot people want to say, well, you know, you guys made it all the way with a perfect season, and then you lost. You guys are bums. And it's like, really? Like, because I thought that they were like 60 seconds away from being the greatest team of all time. Let's get into the East region real quick. And you mentioned a trendy team was Michigan State there. Virginia is – people seem to think that they deserve the number one seed, but they don't appear to be getting a lot of respect as far as just people picking them or out in Vegas or anything like that. I don't know if there's any, a team there that you thought was good in particular, or is there a dark horse that you thought maybe was in that region?
I think that, you know, I think there's a few teams that could surprise you. I think, I guess, first of all, I'll just say that, you know, Virginia is a very good team. They've had a really great run. They got a little bit of benefit from the schedule. You know, in the ACC, they're only playing the Syracuses and Dukes one time. It was a weird schedule quirk, so that's how it's a lot easier to go, you know, it's a lot easier to run through your conference when you only have to play the toughest teams once. You know, going down that bracket, I think Harvard is a good team that, you know, they're better than the team last year that beat New Mexico pretty easily. They had a, you know, they had one stumble in the regular season. They lost a weird game to Florida Atlantic, and then suddenly it's like no one's talking about them again. So it's almost, they get to kind of, they probably are lucky almost in some ways, they get to fly under the radar. They're playing a Cincinnati team that only has one top player. You know, Sean Fitzpatrick is a great player, but that's only one guy. Harvard also got a few players back that were suspended last year. I mean, this is a better team that has that tournament win under its belt than last year. I don't know. You know, Providence came off the big winning the Big East and apparently playing their way in. I think I would have thought they would have been in opposite of some of their other wins, but the committee chair said they had to win that game. They're facing North Carolina, who stabilized everything, but at the same time they have some of those weird things from early in the season where you couldn't, they'd beat Louisville and lose to Belmont, and you scratch your head. I think another team, you know, Iowa State has become the super trendy pick after winning the Big 12, and they actually, you know, and I'm kind of bummed they got matched up with North Carolina Central, because I actually think North Carolina Central is a good team. You know, they're seeing another senior laden team that, you know, I think if they got a better matchup, they could have some success. And I think I feel like I'm doing that when I go throughout the bracket. It's like all my trendy, all the teams I would love to, you know, the double digit seed that I like to say something good about, but then they're suddenly matched up against Iowa State, who is another top pick to win. I think that, you know, Michigan State had a break, and that bracket looks really wide open for them to be coming out of in the end.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because that's how it always goes in the tournament. There's a team that you like, and it's like, ooh, if that team is in the right situation, I'm gonna pick them to go really far, and I'm gonna look really smart doing it. And then it's like, oh, they're playing Duke in the first round. Never mind, you know. And the whole thing just gets blown up, you know. I have to say, I think Iowa State is really good. I mean, they really impressed in the Big 12 tournament. They have the big man down low. His name escapes me, but he dominated Kansas. I mean, they couldn't stop that guy. Obviously Embiid wasn't playing, but and then they have, you know, Melvin Ejim, I think, was the conference player of the year, if I'm not mistaken. And DeAndre Kane, he looks like he has NBA game. Iowa State is a really talented team. In fact, as soon as that region came out, I penciled in. I said, okay, Michigan State, Iowa State, Elite Eight. That's boom. That's done. And then I saw every other analyst pick the same thing, and I'm like, oh! There's nothing worse than seeing what you had picked by everybody else. And so, at least for me anyways, because especially with the way the tournament is now and all the parity that's out there, you know, everybody's zigging towards Michigan State, and I'm like, I kind of want to zag now. You know what I'm saying? I want to zag the other way, because then don't get me wrong. Michigan State's great. They got all the guys back. They're super talented. And they got Tom Izzo, who's arguably the best coach in the business. I even referenced him in that article that I spoke of on the website earlier when I said, you got to, you know, sometimes you just have to pick a coach and cling to him. And Tom Izzo is that type of guy. You know Michigan State's going to go far. But everybody has them pick. Look, I was watching ESPN today or last night. Jay Williams, Jay Billis, Digger Phelps, Dick Vitale, Seth Greenberg, all pick Michigan State to win the whole thing. The whole thing. They were ranked 22nd in the country last week, and now everybody's picking them to win the whole thing. It's really bizarre, but I mean, I understand why, but I just didn't see that coming.
They have all the pieces. I would agree that, you know, they're built to be, you know, a tournament team. You know, you want a good coach. You want to have these. You want to have the, you know, the pieces. They're healthy. That's been amazing. It's all year. It's been wait till Michigan State's healthy. Wait till Michigan State's healthy. Well, now they're healthy, so they got to do something with it. But like you said, you know, that's the big challenge of, you know, when you come, you know, everyone does it. Everyone wants to put together a bracket. And the challenge of the bracket, I think there's two things you have to do. You have to feel good about two things. You have to feel good about your Final Four and your title game, because those are going to be worth the most. And you can win. But the other thing you have to do is look for those value picks. You know, it's almost like a Vegas concept. You're looking for value. Yeah, it might not make a lot of sense. You know, if you feel really good about, you know, if you feel really good about Stephen F. Austin, even though it might not even look, you know, or even if you feel kind of good about them, sometimes it makes sense to take that risk because no one else is. And so you can pick up some points early, but it's minimizing the risk, because what really matters is getting your last few picks right. And so, yeah, it's kind of that zigzag where you can, like, take a chance knowing that not only if you get it right, you got that, but everyone else got it wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Real quick, give us your Final Four and your champion.
All right. Well, you know, in my defense, it's Monday, and we're only on, like, version one of, you know, eight brackets there. I'm only going to do one bracket, but it's going to change a bunch of times.
This is your rough draft. It's your rough draft. That's okay.
All right. I'll go Florida out of the South, Michigan State out of the East. I think one quick thing on the Midwest, you know, with all that challenge, I think one thing, it's been a lot of top bracket, Wichita State or Louisville. This is a zig. I'm going to go with Duke. I feel like they have the pieces. They also have the road is a little easier. And then, again, a hot hand, another topic we talked about. I'm going to go Creighton in the West. I'll recap. Florida, Michigan State, Duke, and Creighton are my Final Four as of, you know, Monday night. We'll see where we are in a few days.
And do you have a winner yet?
Right now, I'm going to go with Florida. I'm going to pick the best team, this team that, you know, we didn't talk about them a lot. They've been so good. They haven't, you know, they ran through the SEC. They went undefeated in SEC, which is just so rarely happened. You know, they haven't lost since December, I think. You know, this is a great team that's peaked. They're healthy. You know, some of the other ones see the other issue. You know, like Arizona would be a great pick. But they lost Brandon Ashley, and it's hard for me to feel great about them. It's hard to feel great about Kansas without knowing about Embiid. Like, I can't know that these guys are going to be back, so I'm going to go with the team that I think is playing the best, and I know at least as of now, they have all their top players.
Very good Final Four. I think it's very, very likely that happens. And again, mine is like yours. It's in a rough draft state, and I'm definitely going to be switching up some of these smaller schools, some of these upsets, based on the knowledge that you dropped this evening, because you dropped jewels for 20-something minutes, and I really appreciate it. And I'll give you my Final Four. I'm probably going to state it again at the end of the show, but right now, mine is looking like Florida in the South, Iowa State over Michigan State in the East, Duke. I also have Duke in the Midwest. Nobody's really talking about Duke. How weird is it that Duke is flying under the radar a little bit? So I think, yeah, I think I'm going to go with Duke and Jabari and Coach K. And then out in the West, I kind of like Oklahoma State. So, I mean, I could see a 9-seed slipping in there. I mean, they're a talented bunch. They got to put it all together. I mean, they have, you know, obviously Marcus Smart has been a tumultuous season for him, but that dude has NBA game. He's a lottery pick. LeBron Nash is on that team. He's very good. And Markell Brown, I don't know if y'all know anything about Markell Brown, but he's probably the best dunker in college basketball. That dude can get up. He's probably the best athlete, arguably, on any team. So they're going to be a tough out. Rhett, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Again, we probably went over a little bit on time. That's on me, not on you. Thank you very much for joining us. Anything you'd like to plug before you head out?
I guess just, you know, if you want to keep up with what I'm up to, feel free to follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/RhettUmphress, RhettUmphress.
Thank you very much, Rhett. College basketball, Genius, genius.
They say family that plays together stays together, and one that walks apart just falls apart. So together we stand, divided we fall. United we form Voltron and take on all. Let's move, yes. The birds left the nest. I'm all grown up, I gotta fly with the rest. Best of the best is what we strive to be. Yeah, a legacy is what we trying to leave. Get in, let's say goodbye to the past. The future's here at last. The second coming, the new beginning. The truth is speaking, you should listen. So glorious, victorious. Take what we want, we born warriors. So glorious, victorious. We take what we want, we born warriors. If you fall, get up and try it again. If you drop, get up and try it again. If you fall, get up and try it again. If you drop, get up and try it again. We tired of being runners up, we coming up. We ready for whatever you put in front of us. Blood, sweat, and tears, yeah. We tripped all three just to get here. No longer will I wake up and my dreams just vanish. It's staring right at me, I must take advantage. Hard work pays off, you get what you put in. So why stop now? Gotta keep pushing, pushing. We in a fight to the finish, so why not fight till you finish? Dig it, I'm my own author, here's my story. My life's been full of pain, now where's my glory? I'm so glorious, victorious. We take what we want, we born warriors. So glorious, victorious. We take what we want, we born warriors. If you fall, get up and try it again. If you drop, get up and try it again. If you fall, get up and try it again. If you drop, get up and try it again.
Jay Hicks here back at the Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast. Thank you for joining us this evening. We're recording this on a Monday night. Happy St. Paddy's Day, y'all. I almost forgot. My God. And happy birthday to my niece, Nyla. I love you. Uncle Justin says happy birthday. Jay Hicks is here. We just had Rhett Umphress on the show. Very nice guy. Good friend of mine going back for about 5 years now. The same day I met Rhett Umphress was the same day I met our second guest. He goes by the name of Andy Roberts. He is a sports writer in Michigan, and he's a former classmate of mine and a cohort member of mine back in my grad school days at Ball State. He's a hardcore Ball State Cardinal fan and alum, and he is a hardcore Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan, and all-around great guy. And Andy, thank you for joining us on the Your Ad Here hotline for the Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. I love the sponsorship. I might have to get on board that.
Well, I'm saying, man, I mean, nobody's sponsoring it right now. So we're calling it Your Ad Here. So for all the sponsors out there, you know, you want people hearing what you have to sell. You know, I know what sponsors are out there, too. I'm not going to give them a free shout out, but I listen to enough podcasts to know who's out there. And pay me, please, because this is where it's at, you know. But at any rate, Andy, thank you for joining us this evening. I wanted to obviously we're going to talk a lot about the tournament, and I wanted to first start off with, I don't know if you saw the Requiem for the Big East 30 for 30. I only saw bits and pieces of it, but a lot of people said it was really, really good, and I know you're a Big East guy because, you know, obviously because of the affiliation with Notre Dame, and I couldn't help but watch the tournament this year, and obviously we've seen the Big East used to have like 25 teams in it, and now they're down to like 10. There's a lot of new faces in there, and Syracuse is gone, you know, and we have, I mean, Villanova, I think, probably won in the regular season, if I'm not mistaken, and Providence won the tournament, and of course, Doug McDermott and Creighton's getting all the shine right now. But I didn't know if you had any thoughts on how the Big East has, I don't want to say disbanded, but how it's just, it's not like what we thought it was, or what we grew up on. Do you think that had any impact on the tournament this year, maybe with the seeding, how they fell, or just the tournament in general?
Well, you mentioned the Big East affiliation. Of course, I'm as hardcore a Big East guy as you'll ever find that didn't go to like Syracuse or Georgetown, because I loved that conference, everything about it. And unfortunately, of course, because of the football machine, it ended up breaking up. But I did notice, I haven't followed basketball all that closely this year, more partly because Notre Dame has been terrible. But I'd noticed that certainly I know it's been over and over talked about by now on all the pundits about Louisville being a 4 seed. It's absolutely ridiculous. They're, of course, in the American Conference now, which isn't much of a league besides them and UConn, who also apparently got underseeded as a 7 in the East. But certainly I felt like those two teams suffered for the breakup of the conference, and it seems like the ACC teams did fine for themselves. I think Pitt might have been an underseeded a little bit as a 9, but Syracuse is about where they should have been, and certainly, I guess I don't know if those were the only two ACC teams from the Big East, but those two teams did fine for themselves, and I think Villanova as a 2 did fine for themselves from the Big East. But it's certainly a shame that leak had to break up. I think the biggest beneficiary, I'm probably preaching to the choir here, Providence would, you know, I don't think under any circumstances would have made the NCAA tournament this year if the Big East had existed as constructed last season. But because it didn't, they were able to win the conference tournament and get into the big dance as an 11 seed. So I guess they would come out as the big winners out of this whole thing.
And I don't even know if Providence would have made the tournament otherwise. I mean, they may have stolen an at-large from somebody else, no?
I think that's very fair to say. They only got an 11 seed, and if they hadn't gotten that last big win over Creighton, I think that probably bumped them up a seed, which essentially means it bumped them into the tournament.
And let's talk about Creighton real quick. Rhett and I touched on Creighton briefly before. He thinks Creighton is due for a lengthy run in the tournament. I saw some of that game against Providence. They scored 15 points in the first half, or 17 points in the first half. Now, they're a really good shooting team, and Doug McDermott, whose game is a little Dirk-ish to me, he reminds me of Dirk a little bit, just with his size and his ability to shoot from range. But, I mean, he's not 7 feet tall, but, you know, he's still a pretty big kid. Do you think Creighton has any real shot of making a lot of noise out in the West region? They're going to, again, be stuck with Arizona, Oklahoma State, San Diego State, Wisconsin, Oregon, those kind of teams?
I think they have a chance. From looking over the brackets, again, I trust my opinion as far as you wish, but it didn't look to me like the West is the most taxing region. Arizona is obviously a very good team as a number one, but I think we all are veterans by now of the Wisconsin suck us in and then they lose as soon as they face a decent team in the tournament play that they like to run on everybody. Creighton has Dougie McBuckets. He's one of the best players in the country, and Greg McDermott, his dad, is a very good coach. I think they have as good a chance as anyone to make a run. Of course, I ended up knocking them out in the second round, actually, to Nebraska in one of my more befuddling picks. I'm infamous among my friends for not making any determinations on where anyone's going to go in my picks until I just make them round by round, and I always end up with something crazy. And I think this year that's the crazy pick, is Nebraska to the Sweet 16 and defeating Creighton.
Well, one thing that I mentioned earlier in the podcast was that there is no crazy this year. And that's what I wrote about last week on the website. There's no such thing as crazy. I feel like crazy's out the window, and we're just stuck with crazy's par for the course now is what it is. It's the new normal. And so, I mean, we've seen all these small schools have deep runs in the tournament. And then this year alone, we've seen a revolving door in the top 10. A revolving door at number one. It's not like we've seen one team dominate all season, even though Wichita State was undefeated. I don't think they were ever number one, maybe briefly, but you've had Florida, you've had Michigan State, you've had Kentucky. You know, Ohio State was number two at one point, I think. I mean, there's just been a lot of parity in college basketball, so I don't even think that that's so much of a – I mean, I don't have Nebraska going that far, but at the same time, like, what do I know? Like, they could absolutely go that far. I wouldn't be totally stunned by it because I don't think we should really be stunned by anything at this point.
No, I agree, and I read that article. It was a good one. Pretty much any team seeded 12 or above is a candidate to make a run. I mean, anyone really could make a run, but certainly anyone 12 or above. I mean, there's some good teams in that seed area. I think I actually have 10 seed BYU making it to the Elite Eight out of nowhere. I think everyone, the trendy upset pick is now is to take the play-in winner. I believe it's Iowa, Tennessee, whoever wins that. I think the trendy pick is having beating UMass, and I have that too. So, you know, I don't think anything is unexpected at this point. Have you talked to anyone who has more than maybe one seed in the Final Four? Because I don't think I have.
I don't think I have either, at least not yet. And it's early. It's Monday, you know, so, I mean, it's early. But I have one seed in the Final Four as of right now, and I'll touch on that a little bit later. I want to jump to the South region. There's a couple teams here that really pique my interest. Obviously, Florida is the overall number one, and I think they start four seniors. They've won like something ridiculous, like 25 games in a row or something like that. I think it's good to look out for teams that are hot going into the tournament rather than teams that are moonwalking into the tournament, like St. Louis and Syracuse. Those teams are kind of like, I'm tempted to pick them to get bounced out pretty early. But do you think Florida is a deserving number one seed? And what's the likelihood that they don't make it out of that South region?
I think anytime you're in a major conference and you don't lose a game in the conference, that commands some attention. I know the SEC is the Big East in football version of the tallest midget right now in terms of the power conferences. But, you know, you go undefeated against any major conference schedule. That's something to take a deep look at. And I certainly think the Gators are very good. Maybe if you want to see it that way, they might have caught a break with Kansas, the Joel Embiid-less Kansas team getting the number two seed opposite them. But then, of course, there's Cuse at three, who, of course, was undefeated for a long time. Any number of teams could get out of that region. I actually did pick the Gators to get out of that region. I think they will do pretty well. Obviously, they'll have a tough game in the Sweet 16 if my prediction comes to pass and they face UCLA. That's certainly no walk in the park. And if they face Kansas, even without Joel Embiid, I would expect Kansas to put up a good fight. But I am going to pick the Gators to get out of that region. I think they are more than deserving of the overall number one seed.
And I'm glad you mentioned Embiid. The Kansas Jayhawks, I think they're fascinating because I actually picked Kansas to win the tournament last year. And I was pretty convinced that they were the best team out there. And to this day, I'm still convinced that they were right. I mean, they were right there. I don't know that they would have beaten Louisville because Louisville they were on a mission. And especially after the way they came back and rallied after the Kevin Ware injury, they were kind of a team of destiny, so to speak. But the Kansas, they had all the elements to me of a championship team. They had a coach who had done it before in Bill Self. I think he won it in 08, if I'm not mistaken, with the Mario Chalmers team. I think Wayne Simeon was on that team, if I'm not mistaken. And then they had shot blocking at the rim with Withy. They had senior leadership on that team. And they also had a dynamic wing player in Ben McLemore, who turned out to be a lottery pick. I thought that was all the ingredients that a championship team could have. Well, they lost a lot of those guys, but they still have kind of the same thing this year. They have some seniors there. They have Joel Embiid, who, if you don't know about him, he's a center that people are comparing to Tim Duncan and Hakeem Olajuwon. I don't know if he's that good, but he's projected by many to be the number one pick in the draft this year. And that was after he leapfrogged his teammate Andrew Wiggins, who was the most hyped player coming out of high school, arguably since LeBron. So, and Andrew Wiggins has been balling the last 2 or 3 weeks, ever since, pretty much ever since Embiid went down. I think Bill Self yanked him, pulled him up by the scruff and said, "Let me tell you something, son. We're going to go as far as you're going to take us. And we need you to start, you know, we need you to start scoring your ass off, basically. And that's the only shot we're going to have." And Wiggins has responded. He's risen to the occasion. They lost the game against West Virginia, but go back and YouTube the West Virginia highlights, y'all. He was a man amongst boys in that game. I think he had 41 points. He had another great game in the Big 12 tournament, and I think they ended up losing to Iowa State. But I guess talk to me about some of the potential pro prospects that are in this draft. Do you think Joel Embiid, alone can swing the entire tournament in Kansas's favor? Do you anticipate that he's that much of a factor? And do you see a player out there that maybe can go on a Carmelo Anthony-ish run, you know, where as a young guy that's a lottery pick that just puts the team on his shoulders and carries him all the way to a championship?
Well, I don't know what to say about Joel Embiid. He's obviously a very good player. I think certainly the biggest thing Kansas is going to deal with his absence is the rim protection factor. I think, yeah, I had him down as averaging 11 and 8 for the regular season, but also over 2.5 blocks. So I think that's probably going to be where Kansas will feel his absence the most, not so much on the offensive end, but on the rim protection aspect of it, sort of like Hasheem's the beat back in the day when he played for UConn, although I hated Hasheem's beat. But it's the same sort of factor that Joel Embiid brings. I think Kansas will still go pretty far, though. I think I had them making the Elite Eight before losing to Florida. As for the guys in this draft, any Carmelo-ish runs, maybe it's just because I've been watching. Maybe it's because I watched the last couple days of the ACC tournament. But, man, oh, man, Jabari Parker is out of his mind right now. I think one of my friends cracked that he has all the energy to go on offense because he doesn't play any defense. But then again, what is Carmelo known for if not that? So I would peg Jabari Parker as the guy. If there's anyone who's going to have a run like that, it would be him.
I could not agree with you more. His game reminds you of Carmelo. He's got the size of Carmelo. He's got on a much smaller scale at this point, but he's got that same kind of Carmelo-like footwork. I think Carmelo's jumper was a little bit better at this stage of his career than Jabari's is, but Jabari has that take over a game, get the hell out of my way kind of magnetism about him. And and the funny thing is he went to Duke. He could have gone anywhere he wanted, and he went to Duke. Duke is a school that they don't need a Jabari Parker. They don't need a one guy that will that's just head and shoulders above everybody else, and he's just going to put the team on his back and carry them. They have a system. They have a coach who's one of the greatest coaches ever. They have a unit. They have a program in place there that does not require them to have an elite talent like that in order to compete for a national championship, and yet they went out and got one anyway. So for that reason, I actually have Duke in the Final Four. I have them going up against Louisville in that region. I have Wichita State getting bounced out relatively early. I haven't quite figured out if I'm going to have them bow out to Kentucky or Louisville just yet, but I don't see them getting through both of those games unscathed. And yeah, man, I think Jabari, he looks NBA ready. Were there any other guys that jumped out to you that maybe looked NBA ready? Maybe not Carmelo ready to, you know, put the team on the shoulders and run at the title kind of thing, but is there anybody else that you think, like, wow, a team would be lucky to have them in the lottery?
I don't know about the lottery. I'm a big fan of Tyler Ennis, but I don't think he's the lottery pick. He seems like one of those guys that can go in the late first round and help a team that's already pretty good get even better and provide some depth at the guard position. I know I've seen him play a couple times, and he's really impressed me with the way he came right in and really took ownership of that Syracuse team and made it his own. Even though it's a pretty veteran team with a veteran coach, he really put his stamp on the team. I know, obviously, he hit that shot against Pittsburgh that I saw him live as it happened, and I think that was the moment everyone realized. I mean, everyone knew he was good already, but I think that was really the moment that moved him up a level. I think he's a guy that can certainly make an impact on the next level.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ennis is very good. Syracuse, man, they just keep finding these guys. They just keep cranking it out. If it's not you know, Dion Waiters, and they move on from him, and Scoop Jardine. Remember Scoop Jardine? And they move on from those guys, and then they come up with Michael Carter Williams, and he's there for a couple of years, and then they roll him out, and then they bring in Tyler Ennis. I mean, they just come with the guards, man. Syracuse, they know something about some guard play, for sure. Give us your final four real quick, Andy. Who do you have?
Final four. I mentioned the Gators already. In the East region, I think I ended up with Michigan State because I think we were in grad school together when Michigan State made the Final Four in 2010, and I'm pretty sure I picked them to make the Final Four every single season since then, because at this point I think Tom Izzo is a magician. I mean, I don't think he's made the Final Four actually since then, but I think there's that whole those who stay culture with Izzo now, where I believe every 4-year player he's ever had has played in the Final Four, and of course that streak is on the line this year with his senior class, and I think he's gonna get it done again. They have a relatively easy path. I know they have Cincinnati or Harvard in the second round. I know Cincinnati's been a popular pick to go down to the Crimson, and then they'll have Virginia, who I've been really impressed with. I've seen them play twice against my beloved Irish and shut them down, but I do think that they pose some vulnerabilities that Michigan State can take advantage of. And then I have them taking out Iowa State beating Connecticut, making the Elite Eight, and Michigan State getting past them. Over in the West, I ended up with San Diego State, actually. I've got them taking out Arizona in California and beating then the Nebraska-BYU combo I ended up with in the other side of the bracket. I got them sneaking into the Final Four. And in the Midwest, I agree with you. I've got Duke getting out of there. I've got them beating Michigan. I've got them beating Louisville. And then I actually have Duke making the championship game, but ultimately coming up short to Florida for the second year in a row. I'm going chalk with my championship pick and taking the overwhelming favorite.
Well, and I mentioned my Final Four earlier, but I'm going to recap it one more time. And so, again, yours real quick. You had Florida, you had Michigan State, you have Duke, and you have San Diego State, correct?
That is correct.
And that's all subject to change because it's only Monday night. You know, things happen. Joel Embiid happens. I don't know. I think right now, and again, it's subject to change, but right now I'm pretty sure I'm going to stick with my Final Four of Florida in the South. And I wish my Ohio State Buckeyes were better. I really do. And I can't go an entire college basketball podcast without shouting out my boy Aaron Kraft. You follow me on Twitter at HHS Report, Andy. I ride for Aaron Kraft harder than anybody, because if you think that kid is not an excellent college basketball player, you're a moron. That dude is awesome because he makes winning play, despite what happened at the end of the Michigan game. He makes winning play after winning play after winning play when it matters most. I love Aaron Kraft. The Buckeyes are going to go as far as LaQuinton Ross takes them because they can't score. That's pretty much what it is. But I do have Florida coming out the South. I have Duke in the Midwest, as we mentioned. In the West, I have Oklahoma State somehow.
You're right, with Digger Phelps.
Yeah, right. I mentioned that earlier. Yes, Digger Phelps picking Oklahoma State, the Cowboys. I just think they got a lot of talent on that team, man, and I just feel like they're going to put it all together. I don't know. I mean, I think Arizona could very well beat them in the second round, but I think that's a tough draw for Arizona. And I like Nick Johnson a lot. Arizona's got a very good team, and I could see them making it as well. But I'm going to go with the Cowboys because I just think that there's too much parity. There's too much insanity this year. There's no way that it's going to be, you know, 3 or 4 number one seeds in the Final Four. It's not going to happen this year. I just don't see it. So somebody's got to get in there. So I can see a 9 seed, more than likely an improperly seeded 9 seed, Oklahoma State Cowboys, getting to the Final Four out of the West. And then in the East, I have Michigan State actually losing in the Elite Eight to Iowa State. I feel like Iowa State is a very talented team. They really impressed me in the Big 12 tournament. Maybe I shouldn't be putting too much stock into the conference tournament. That could be a mistake on my part. But just watching them, they were really impressive. And as of now, I have the same championship result you have. I have Florida beating Duke in the finals. I mean, who knows, man? It's anybody's guess. I like Michigan State a lot, and I referenced how good Tom Izzo is in the article last week. I just don't like the fact that everybody and their mom is picking them. That makes me not want to pick them. Like, they've become they're more of a favorite than Florida is at this point. Like, people I've seen on television and everything, I've seen more people pick Michigan State than any other team by far. And the next closest team is Florida, probably, but, I mean, Michigan State, everybody loves Michigan State, and I'm not saying that they're not good, and they could very well get there. I mean, I have them in the Elite Eight, so they could easily get to the Final Four, but I just feel like with everybody being on their team, I feel like that's going to backfire somehow. But, you know, who knows, man? I don't know. It's all anybody's guess at this point. That's why we have this stuff. That's why we have podcasts, and we sit up here and we run our yaps about college basketball, man. Andy, thank you so much for joining us this evening on the podcast. Is there anything else you want to plug before you get out of here? Your Twitter account, anything like that?
Well, I did want to mention that at 5-25, Ball State got hosed by the committee. I think they should have been the overall number one seed.
The Cardinals did get hosed. They did.
If you are one of the 10,000 or so people that live between Muskegon, Michigan, and Pentwater, Michigan, which is my stomping grounds, be sure to follow me at @aroberts_WLB and get all the results that you want from the prep sports going on out there. And other than that, I look forward to coming back on during baseball season.
There it is, man. All the prep scores you could want in Michigan, you know? So, or at least in that region of Michigan. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you all out there for listening. Please get at the site. Again, hiphopsportsreport.com. Follow me on Twitter at @HHSReport. We got a lot of big things in store. We're going to have Andy on back in the future. We're going to have Rhett on in the future. Thank you very much, Andy, for joining us. Thank you very much, Rhett, for joining us. Thank you all for listening. And shout out to all my peoples from Ball State. I miss all you guys. I love you guys. And you all know who you are. I miss all you guys. And a special shout out to my man, Adam Clark. My one of my very closest friends just had a baby recently. Congratulations. And I'm always thinking about you, man. I love you. And thank y'all for joining us on the show tonight. Enjoy the basketball, y'all. Peace. Hands in the air, a party over here. Shake it for the man of the year. Man of the year, man of the bounce. Rusty girls everywhere. Titty ass hands in the air, a party over here. Shake it for the man of the year. Man of the year, man of the bounce. Home of the party in the trees. Sunny lit land of the G's. Please let a nigga breathe. Tank top, top down for the breeze. Burnt lips, got a blunt full of weed. Peace, love in the knees. Nigga, I ain't come for the beef. You ain't no sheep. Came for the speed. Got pipe for the cheeks. Nigga, I'm the life for the beat. Fuck that, this year gotta eat. Bounce for the crown. You be hating and I still hold it down. When you round, man, the girls never lounge. Man, I heard you a hound. Bruh, man, that bitch need a pound. Tip, 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 bounce out of gown. Hands tied to the sound. Yeah, I'm the rich nigga now. Bitch, I'm the talk of the town. Make a bitch run a mouth. Yeah, go south for the boy. Pop, pop, pop down to the floor. Bounce, bounce. Everywhere, titty ass hands in the air, so party over here, shaking for the man of the year, man of the year, man of the bounce, rusty girls everywhere, titty ass hands in the air, so party over here, shaking for the man of the year, man of the year, man of the bounce, rusty girls everywhere, titty ass hands in the air, so party over here, shaking for the man of the year, man of the year, man of the on the curb, weed cards every corner sell herb. Watch it fly to a bird. Nigga, I can pitch you a curb. Let this real shit occur. Make meals from a verb. Nigga, cop a crib in the burbs. Nigga, you ain't said nothing but a word. Smoke something for your nerve. Home of the paid on the first. Then nigga going broke by the third. Bounce for the crown. Fast forward getting real to me now. Every dog need a cat to meow. Every once in a while I see hands in the crowd. See white, black, blaze in the pound. Jumping around. Tits ass bump out of gown. Bounce from the ground. Hype for the sound. First straight from the morgue, down from the floor, bounce, bounce. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Yeah. Rusty girls everywhere, titty ass hands in the air, so party over here, shaking for the man of the year, man of the year, man of the bounce. Rusty girls everywhere, titty ass hands in the air, so party over here, shaking for the man of the year, man of the year, man of the bounce. Girls everywhere, titty ass hands in the air, some party over here, shaking for the man of the year.
Met man at a, yeah, met man at a.